This is WCRB in concert with the Handel and Haydn Society. The music of Bach has a profound impact on anyone who hears it, and Mozart was no exception. He heard Bach's music for the first time in the 1780s at a musical salon gathering in the home of his patron, Gottfried van Swieten, and he was intrigued, so much so that he made his own arrangements of Bach's fugues for these get-togethers and paid a visit to Bach's own St. Thomas Church in Leipzig in 1789. That's where he heard this motet. And when he heard it, he was enthralled, saying, "Here's something one can learn from." And learn from it he did, just like when he visited Rome and heard Allegri's profound Miserere. Tonight, Harry Christophers and the Handel and Haydn Society bring us some of these pieces Mozart learned from, and then the final fruit of all that learning, his masterpiece, The Requiem. It's the Handel and Haydn Society with Mozart on WCRB in concert. I'm Alan McClellan. The Handel and Haydn Society's 2019-2020 season begins next weekend with Harry Christophers conducting an all-Mozart concert on Friday at 7:30 and a second performance on Sunday at 8 at Symphony Hall. His Mass in C minor is the centerpiece of the program, along with a little night music and some brilliant concert arias. So tonight we're returning to Symphony Hall for a Mozart concert from the 2018-2019 season, a concert that paired Mozart's Requiem with works that had a profound impact on his development. We'll hear Gregorio Allegri's Miserere Mei, which the 14-year-old Mozart heard in the Sistine Chapel in 1770, Bach's motet Singet dem Herrn ein neues Lied, Sing to the Lord a New Song. He heard that later in his life when he visited Bach's church in Leipzig. And then we'll sum it up with Mozart's final masterpiece, The Requiem. But first, the Handel and Haydn Society Orchestra performs the Masonic funeral music. Mozart wrote this for a service for two of his Masonic Lodge brothers in 1785. And I must tell you, there was a very special moment at the end of this 2019 performance at Symphony Hall. Listen for a young voice in the audience reacting enthusiastically. It's a voice that was heard around the world on social media. Harry Christophers conducts the Handel and Haydn Society in Mozart's Masonic funeral music. The wow heard around the world. A young member of the audience was overwhelmed with what he heard that afternoon at Symphony Hall. Mozart's Masonic Funeral Music, performed by the Handel and Haydn Society with Harry Christophers conducting. And that sweet, honest response to the music was heard soon after on social media and retweeted hundreds of times. It was such a natural reaction, and yet it reverberated mightily. So for more about that and the 9-year-old boy whose voice we heard, go to classicalwcrb.org. I'm Alan McClellan, and you're listening to WCRB in concert with the Handel and Haydn Society, recorded in May 2019 at Symphony Hall. The Mozart Requiem, his final masterpiece, was the focus of this concert, and it took up the entire second half. But to kind of set the table for it, Harry Christophers and the Handel and Haydn Society performed works he heard and admired by Allegri and Bach. First, Allegri, a gorgeous setting of Psalm 51 that Mozart first heard in Rome when he was 14 years old. And before they performed it, Harry Christophers and the Handel and Haydn Society chorus introduced it to the audience at Symphony Hall.
Allegri's Miserere, probably the single most famous piece of sacred music ever written. But, like Mozart's Requiem, very little of what we hear today is by the composer himself. Quite frankly, it's a work of fiction. Mythology surrounds it. Allegri was a singer in the Sistine Chapel Choir in the first half of the 17th century. If you made an illegal copy of his Miserere, you could face excommunication. It was the piece everyone flocked to hear in Easter week on the grand tour. Mozart, Spohr, and Mendelssohn all heard it. Charles Dickens tried to. Sadly, he couldn't get in because of the crowds. It was in 1770 Mozart and his father heard it. Leopold clearly respected the monopoly, and he wrote, "Wolfgang has written it down, and we shall bring it home with us. Moreover, as it is one of the secrets of Rome, we do not wish to let it fall into other hands." So, why was it so special? What you've just heard is lovely, but actually, it's rather ordinary. What people wanted to hear were the embellishments. The singers of the Sistine Chapel ornamented the work, and these ornamentations were known as abbellimenti, secret musical forms only known to the choir. It was this that people flocked to hear. It took an Englishman, Charles Burney, to get hold of a copy and publish it. And that was in 1771, 120 years after Allegri's death. And as a result, the papal monopoly on this famous piece was lost forever. But anybody purchasing that copy might well have wanted their money back. Very plain. Nicely sung, but a bit boring. Now, and it's not at all like we've just heard. So where are those famous embellishments?
Oh.
But today the piece is renowned for its soprano top Cs. But I'm afraid to say, lovely though they are fiction. We hear the first half of the verse, complete with the abbellimenti, all the way to a cadence. So far, so good. The music starts up again. And after a few chords, what's this? A complete key change from G minor to C minor. Now, here's the funny thing. The music is exactly the same as the first half of the verse, but up a fourth. So the top G for the soprano a few bars earlier is now repeated as a testing top C. Beautiful. But the error is thought to have occurred by misinterpreting the clefs and simply putting the jigsaw of the various sources together wrongly. And this is how it appeared in the first edition of Grove's Dictionary of Music, published in 1880. And what we usually hear today is the result of scribal errors. So what we've attempted to do by making use of all the various sources is to show you how the piece has evolved over the centuries into the version you know and love today.
The Miserere, composed for the Sistine Chapel in the 1630s by Gregorio Allegri and transcribed by Mozart from memory after just two hearings when he visited Rome as a 14-year-old. In concert on WCRB, it's the Handel and Haydn Society, led by Harry Christophers at Boston Symphony Hall. Mozart's Requiem is the big feature on this program, but we're also hearing a couple of works that we know had a profound impact on Mozart when he first heard them. Mozart heard Bach's motet, Singet dem Herrn, sing to the Lord a new song, later in his life when he was on a tour of Germany with his friend Prince Karl Lichnowsky in 1789. One of their first stops was in Leipzig, where he played Bach's organ at St. Thomas's Church. That's where he heard the choir sing this music. Harry Christophers picks up the story from there.
The reporter Friedrich Rochlitz said, "Hardly had the choir sung a few measures when Mozart sat up, startled. A few more measures more, and he called out, 'What is this?'" In German, obviously. And now his whole soul seemed to be in his ears. When the singing was finished, he cried out, full of joy, "Now there is something one can learn from." Sing.
Thank you.
Sing It Den Herrn by J.S. Bach in concert at Symphony Hall, performed by the Handel and Haydn Society, led by Harry Christophers. Mozart was deeply moved by this music when he first heard it, and it must have reinforced the admiration he already had for Bach. You can hear that in the fugues throughout Mozart's final masterpiece, The Requiem, which we're about to hear in the second half of this program from Symphony Hall. The Handel and Haydn Society's season is starting up this coming Friday night at 7:30 at Symphony Hall. Harry Christophers will lead the chorus and orchestra in an all-Mozart concert, including the great C minor mass. To learn more, start at our website, classicalwcrb.org. I'm Alan McClellan. I'll be back in a moment with the final musical utterance of Mozart, The Requiem, on WCRB in concert.